Shall we turn then to Acts chapter 10? There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God, and now send men to Joppa to call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is on the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. When he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, saw heaven opening and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit of the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. There came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord. What a contradiction. If the Lord is Lord in your life, you're not saying, Not so. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that fears God, and a good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. And Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in, and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come in unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I asked therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, and when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God is with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of sick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin." While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, that is, the Jews, but many as came with Peter, because on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak in the tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as he?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then prayed they him to tarry with them many days. Well, I've read the whole chapter. It's a very interesting chapter. I got mixed up last week, and I preached a Father's Day sermon last week. I heard men announcing during the week about preparing for fathers. I've given them this and given them that and given them the other thing, and I had in my mind that last Sunday was Father's Day, so I preached on a Father's Day thing. Well, there are a lot of fathers in the Bible. It's not one of the old ones. So here's another one. Now, that father we spoke on was Joshua, and he was a soldier, and a great soldier. Well, we've got a soldier here. Cornelius was a soldier. Joshua was a soldier who knew the living and true God. He was a Jew. This Cornelius, he was a soldier too, but he was a Roman soldier and did not know the living and true God. And he is a Gentile. So we're going to speak on this father. Joshua in the Old Testament, he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now this man, Cornelius, being a soldier, he didn't know the living and true God. He desired to know it. And that's the story we have before us. So we want to speak about this father. And I might say that before getting any further, I want to thank all the Christians for their birthday gift Wednesday night. We had a happy time, and some are still coming in, so I sit at home and I read through all those lovely cards and thank God for them and the content. And it certainly gives me a happy time going to Canada to see my folks. I will leave you behind the road. I'm going up there too. Now, in reference to our subject here, we have a very wise father of a very wise family. It's very interesting. You have in chapters 8, 9, and 10 the three sons of Noah. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem, as you know, the Jews came from the Shemites, and Ham, the colored folk, came from Ham. Then you have Japheth, and of course the Gentiles, as we know them, came from Japheth. Well, you have all three of those men in the three chapters, 8, 9, and 10. And you know all three of these men were honest men, sincere men, they were religious men, they were men of authority. It's strange that the colored man should get priority in chapter 8. You remember the eunuch? How he had gone to Jerusalem, undoubtedly he embraced the Jewish religion, and he obtained a parchment known as the prophecy of Isaiah. And he was reading it as he was in the chariot going back to Queen Candice. So he was Chancellor of the Exchequer for that queen. And he was reading that portion of Scripture. And he came to Isaiah 53. And a man appeared in the desert. And listened, and he said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" He said, "How can I, except some man could show me?" So Philip got up into the chariot, and he began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And the rich man, or the eunuch, said, "Of whom speaketh the prophet this, to himself or some other man?" And he began at that same Scripture, Isaiah 53:6. And the eunuch got this. That was a remarkable thing. Then you have a direct call. When you come to chapter 9, the Apostle Paul comes to know Christ, but there was no instrument used. Christ spoke directly from heaven. In chapter 8, you have an individual being used by God to win one soul to Christ. In chapter 9, God speaks directly from heaven. No human instrumentality, and God can speak better. God can use the forces of nature to speak to men and women. He doesn't have to have human instrumentality. He can speak direct. But when you come to Cornelius' house, you find God using preaching because there was an audience there. And God was using a preacher, and that is Peter, and Cornelius was saved. So after 11 years, after Pentecost, you find this incident in Cornelius' house. Up till now, the gospel had been preached to the Jews and the Samaritans. Peter, having the keys of the kingdom of God, he opened the door of faith to the Jews in chapter 2. But when you come to chapter 10, he's opening the gates of the gospel to the Gentiles. And what a wonderful story it is. Thinking of this man, Cornelius, he's a remarkable character. And when you stop to think of Cornelius, you would almost think, in fact, some people think he was a Christian. Notice some of the things. There are about 12 things said about Cornelius. First thing you find in verse 1, he was a trusted man. He was a centurion. Now, no man got that office unless he was trusted. A centurion, he's in charge of approximately 100 soldiers. So he must have been a man of trust, the government to trust him. And not only so, it says he was a devout man. And then the third thing, he feared God. The fourth thing, he must have had a good influence, he ruled his own house. And the fifth thing, he gave alms unto the poor, he gave money to the poor people. And then the sixth thing, he prayed to God always. That's amazing. And then you come to chapter, or another one over in chapter 22, others speak of him as a just man. They say, Cornelius is a just man. Others said, why, he feareth God, this man. Others said, why, he's well spoken of by all the nation of the Jews. He had a great reputation. He was a humble man when Peter came in, and he is a Roman official. He fell down before Peter. That means he was a humble man. And he fasted. You read in verse 30, he fasted. Now there you have 11 things, very commendable things about this man Cornelius. Yet he was not saved. He was not born again. And our men and women today couldn't begin to come up to the standard of this man. Yet he was not saved. I want you to notice this in verse 22. He was born of God. There must have been something wrong when God warned him. God was warning him that all his goodness wouldn't save him. Now that's a warning that a lot of people need to get. All his good traits, commendable things, what others said about him, he must have been amazed in that. Yet God is warning him that he needs more than words. He needs words. And that's why God sent Peter to tell him words, whereby he and all his house might be saved. You're not saved by works. You're saved by words. And so here's the warning. When you stop to think of Cornelius, why did he pray to God always? Evidently, he was praying for light. There was something lacking. With all the good that he did, there must have been something lacking, and he began praying to God to give him light, to give him light. That's exactly it, and that's why God answered his prayer and told Peter to go to Cornelius' house and tell him words whereby he and his whole house might be saved. How wonderful it is. God is warning this man with a clean life, an honest man, well spoken of, praying to God, giving all. Yet he wasn't a Christian. There are people today, and you look upon them, wonderful neighbors, they're honest, they're sincere. A lot of them are very religious, like these three men I referred to. Yet they don't know Christ as personal Savior. And so you find God answering his prayer in sending Peter. And so Peter is dead. Now notice how Cornelius, how sincere he was. In verse 30, he sent right away to Peter. He was so anxious to get the light, to get help on the subject of salvation, he immediately sent for Peter. You know what's strange? Why is it that God didn't tell the angel to go directly to Cornelius to tell Cornelius how he could be saved? No. God didn't send an angel. God said to the angel, I want you to go to Joppa. That's 35 miles down the coast from Caesarea. I want you to go down there by the seaside, and I want you to get in touch with a man by the name of Peter, who is living with one of Simon the Tanner. And I want you to tell Peter to go up and talk to Cornelius. Well, why couldn't the angel have done that? Because angels can't preach the gospel, for they don't know the power. The preaching of the gospel is not given to angels. The preaching of the gospel is given to those who experience the grace of God. Now the old hymn says, angels do not know the joy that God's salvation brings. Those of us who are saved can speak to others who are not saved because we've had the experience. Angels haven't. Angels who fall, there's no hope for them. There's not an angel that's been redeemed. They're creatures of God. There are those who have fallen and their doom is sealed because they had access to the brilliancy of the light of the glory of God. And they fell from such height and such depths there was no redemption for angels. They are ministers of them who are the heirs of salvation. And therefore God sent an angel to Peter and told Peter to go to Cornelius. Up in Caesarea, and give him the gospel. I tell you, that angel was happy to have even that part in the work of Cornelius getting saved. We've been speaking mostly about Cornelius, and of course the vision, and I want to say this, that we don't have vision or angels ministering to us today. God doesn't give people vision. Angels don't come and talk to us today. We have his word. God says, you've got my word and call me. Now a lot of other people have visions that don't agree with this book. And so the Bible is what God's given us. And that's what he's emphasizing on this occasion. The Bible, the Bible, the Bible. You've got God's Word. You don't need anything else. While Peter went up on the housetop to pray, he got awfully hungry. And then, as he got hungry and wanted something to eat, a strange thing happened. A sheep left down by four corners. It came down from heaven. Well, it must have been clean, because only that which is clean can come down from heaven. So, a sheep, knitted by four corners, was left down from heaven. And as Peter looked into the sheep, what did he see? He saw some things in there he didn't like to see. He saw four-footed things. He saw wild beasts. He saw creeping things. He saw fowls in the air. A lot of these were unclean things. In the Old Testament, you couldn't eat them. And there are three amazing verses here, verses 13, 14, and 15. God says, Peter, kill and eat. Peter says, not so, Lord. Next verse, that's in verse 14, when Peter says, not so, Lord. That's a contradiction. If Jesus is my Lord, I'm not saying not so. I will not do anything contrary to him if he's my Lord. Not so, Lord. What a contradiction. The next verse, the Lord Jesus says in verse 50, what God hath cleansed, call thou not common. Peter, what you're looking upon at one time were exactly as described.
They were indeed four-footed beasts.
But he's speaking of human beings, as you find in verse 28, the illustration, 28. Yes, Peter, what God has cleansed, don't you call common. Now, what's behind all this? Peter looked upon Gentiles as common. The Jews have no dealings with the Gentiles and the Samaritans. And so in the eyes of Peter, a biased Jew, he didn't want to have any fellowship with the Gentiles. Well, that was for him. To him, they were unclean. They couldn't go to the temple. God says, don't you call any man common or unclean. And so Peter learned his lesson in this chapter that God loved the Gentiles just as much as he did the Jews, and Christ died for the Gentiles just as much as he did the Jews. And God rebuked Peter on this occasion. Peter, you go with the gospel to Cornelius and go in a hurry. And he went. You know, this is an amazing picture when you think of this sheep being let down from heaven, knit at the four corners. Four is the number of universality. North, south, east, and west. It speaks of Christ being universally preached. Yes, you have universal love, you have universal salvation. What you have here is God reaching out to men. Worldwide, Jew, Gentile, it makes no difference. The gospel today is universal.
Of course, these things that were in the sheep at one time, they were unclean.
This suggests universal depravity. And that's true. Man was born in sin and iniquity. Universal depravity. And now these things are clean.
You might say that Cornelius was on the clean footpath. Yes, a very clean man. He belonged to those four-footed beasts, but he was not yet cleansed.
Then you have the wild beast that speaks of those people, and they're very reckless, they're very violent. We have that segment in our society. People are very violent, and you have these wild beasts. And also you have creeping things, things graveling in the dust, a muck and mire of sin. You have that segment too. Fowls of the air. there are some of them that are not very clean, like buzzards.
Or high flyers, those who like to be up. They like to be on the top of the ladder. They like to be in society.
Birds of the air.
It just about covers the whole human race, doesn't it? Yes. But thank God if you have universal depravity in these four things mentioned in this book, they can all be fixed. And this is the lesson that God is teaching people on this occasion.
The Bible speaks of four classes. You have the four classes mentioned here in the sheet.
You return to Romans 5. You have sinners, enemies, ungodly, and without strength. God speaks of the human race. Man without Christ. He's a sinner. He's an enemy. He's ungodly. He's without strength. Then you have the invitation of the gospel supper. As you read the poor, the maimed, the halt, and the blind, there you got four things again. Seeking that man's universal need. Then when you come to the book of Revelation, you think of the anthem they're going to sing. And it says, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Four things that are going to be, four different classes of people are going to be singing the Hallelujah chorus. In time to come. You notice all in that sheet. Verse 10. That's wonderful. All in Christ are blessed. That beautiful white sheet that came down from heaven speaks of Jesus Christ as presented in the gospel. One time they were unclean, but now they're cleansed. Friend, I want to tell you this. Every person who's in Christ is cleansed. And what God has cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. That's what it says. Paul writes to the Corinthians, such were some of you, but you're what? But you're saved. That can be said of every Christian. Such were some of you. That was me before I was saved at the age of 90, a poor, lost, guilty sinner. Ben Bradford used to come to the little chapel in Stratford where I was brought up. Big 6'4", used to be a mason. His hair was as red as fire, and he was an Irishman, and he could really roar out the gospel. And he could say, you tell me you're religious and you tell me you're a good man. He said, you're nothing but a maggot. That's quite plain, it's nothing but a maggot. Yes? But isn't it nice to know not what you are, you can forget that and even say, cleansed for the blood of Christ, what you are now. Some like you, he says, such is you, but you're cleansed. It's nice to think of the present and forget the past. Such were some of you, just like these things I've mentioned, four-footed beasts, the wild beasts, the teaching things, and the power of the real. You belong to one segment of that society. But when the grace of God comes, you can say, I was that. But now, I'm cleansed. What God has cleansed, don't do call God. And when God saves a soul, friend, you better be careful what you say about that soul. For God has cleansed. You can't throw up to a man what he was. You can't throw up to a woman what they were before they were saved. That's been blood of us. They are now in Christ, saved by sovereign grace. They're accepted in Christ, they're in the sheep. You'll notice the sheep was sent back 3 times. And these things that were cleansed in the sheep were sent back to be a testimony to the blood of Christ which cleanses from all sins. The sheep came down 3 times. Christ came down to save.
The Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost to seal those who are saved. And Christ is coming down one of these days to take all who are in the sheep up.
That'll be the third coming down and going back up. Or they're not coming down, back down after that.
Three times the sheep came down and was taken up. So then we're waiting for the time when Christ shall come. Those of us who are saved, cleansed, washed in the blood, they're in Christ, they're going to be taken up to stay. Now, after this experience, Peter went, and there he found in Cornelius' house, a place was full, a place was packed. Cornelius had all his kinfolk in there. He had some close friends, and the place was packed. When Peter arrived, Cornelius said, "Peter, we're all here present to hear all things that are given thee of God. Give us the word, Peter. Give us the word." And he did. And what a wonderful message it was. We read it in verses 38 to 43. What if Christ is preached by Peter in the house of Cornelius? Jesus the Anointed One. That's right. That means Christ said, "Live." For God's right hand, he is the Anointed One. And in verse 38, he's the Compassionate One. He went about doing good. Yes, that one. He went about doing good. And he is the Mighty One, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Yes, mighty. Able to deliver people who were oppressed from the devil. It took power and might to deliver people out of the clutches of the devil. He's the suffering one in verse 39. Whom he slew and hanged on a tree. Then in verse 40, he's the risen one. Him God hath raised up the third day. He's at God's right hand. He's the exalted one. And God hath ordained him to be judged over the creek and the dead. He's exalted. And he is the universally saving one. That's what it tells you. And the results of that message are given you. They heard, they believed, they were saved, they were sealed, they were baptized. Now what a message you've got in those few verses. He goes over the whole story of the work of Christ. And this is the message that Peter took to Cornelius and preached in Cornelius' house. Why wasn't it a wonderful experience? You can imagine Cornelius. He was that righteous fellow in his own eyes, that good man, that very religious man, that man of authority, that kind man who gave much to the poor. Now he's listening to the God. This is what I've been praying for. This is what God warned me about, but I didn't have it. Now I hear it. Now I'm listening. All about Christ. Peter didn't say one thing to Cornelius. Cornelius, you better clean up. You better turn over a new leaf. You better do better than you've been doing. You better give more money for a good cause. You better go and join the church. Nothing is said about that. Peter preached unto Cornelius Jesus Christ with all his fullness and fairness and love and beauty and power. That's the sermon that Peter preached to Cornelius. And what a result. They heard, they believed, they were saved. And while Peter preached, the Holy Spirit fell upon you. Now that's when you get saved. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption, until the time when Jesus Christ shall come. I'm not sealed or saved until I do wrong. No such thing as being saved today and lost tomorrow. Once I'm saved forever. I'm saved and sealed until the day of redemption. That's what the Bible says, and that's what I believe. They were sealed. And as an evidence of that inner work, as an evidence that I have been saved,
They manifested their seven this last Sunday night. They got baptized. Baptism doesn't save anybody. But it gives evidence that you have been saved. You're saved when the Holy Spirit comes in. And He gives you peace. He gives you assurance. If any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is not of his. It's the Spirit quickening you into life in Christ Jesus. It's the Spirit making you a member of the body of Christ forever. And if you were to become a member of the body of Christ, and later on you lose that salvation, Christ's body would have a dismembered body. There'd be something lacking in that body. No. When you are saved, you're put in the body of Christ, and you're there to stay. And you'll be in your niche until Jesus comes. There's no such thing as going in and out in God's salvation. When you're saved, you're in Christ. You're sealed until the day of redemption. You know, it's only those who are in the sheep will be caught up. One of these days, the Lord Jesus is going to come, and He's going to catch up all those who once were wise, who were once like these things that Peter saw. Once they were among the four-footed beasts and the wild beasts, the creeping things and the fowls of the air. Talking about Peter, there was one time I preached a sermon, and I spoke about the beast coming into the ark and the birds coming down, and there's that one door. And in go the elephants and the lions. God took all the, I suppose, the fear of coming judgment, sobered up all the animals. And there's Eagle, and Eagle says, well, I'm not going down there in that door where any little sparrow goes. I'm a lost eagle. You've got to come down in that door. I have to mention, the reason I know this, I noticed the other day on the sermon I preached about 25 years ago. I said, two termites got it. Two termites said it. Must have. The Bible says two of every kind. Somebody might have said, well, termites get in here, there's four holes in this thing. This ark might leak. 1,000 termites could have got in that ark, and it would have sunk. How could it? God was in the ark. No, the ark couldn't sink as long as God's in it. And friends, I can't sink, neither will the church sink, because God did it. How wonderful God's wonderful salvation is. Here is an ideal audience. How anxious they were to hear the word. Every one of them were there, anxious to hear the word. My, wouldn't I be happy if everyone that came here was anxious to hear the word. Hungry. Every month we have a missionary meeting. That is, we read letters, Bobby reads letters about missionaries and what's going on in the world. It makes your heart bleed. Think of the hundreds of millions of people in this world, in the poverty, in shame, that they have home, that they have clothes, that they have food. There they are, hungry for the gospel. They give everything they've got if they could sit where you sit this morning, just to hear the and just saved. Yes, an ideal audience, all anxious to hear. An ideal preacher. Peter was sent and equipped. An ideal being, an all-sufficient Savior. And an ideal result, all God gave. Everyone that day that was in Cornelius' house, the Spirit of God came upon all of the disciples. Now that would be an ideal result, wouldn't it? But everybody who is listening to my word this morning would accept Christ and be saved. That would make heaven rejoice, and that would make a lot of Christians rejoice too, and loved ones as well. This is the story of the sheep that was let down from heaven. This is the story of a wise man. Head of a wise family. Cornelius was a wise man. He was seeking after the Lord.
He was a very wise father. A very intelligent father. He was seeking after the living God. He wanted the truth. And God saw that he got the truth. And he had a very wise family because they were all present. There, this Cornelius, the head of the house, all the family was there to hear the gospel, and they all got it. That's a wonderful, wise father and a very wise man.
I wonder about your family.
I trust that you're not saved, Lord. You will come to Jesus Christ, believe on him, trust his precious blood, and be saved. And know on that assurance, and assurance, you're going to him. You're in the sheep. You're in Christ.
When he comes, you'll be caught up.
Caught up forever.
Those of us who are in the sheep have been sent back, saved by grace, the forgiveness to us, and tell us of the redeeming blood of Christ, the blood that saves. That's our mission.
Until the sheep goes up for the third time. Caught up,
ready forever, with the Lord.
Now we tell him.
Our Father in heaven, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we come into thy holy presence. We ask thy blessing upon thy holy word, and thank you for this portion under consideration. We thank thee for the leading of the Lord, thy love and desire to reach a man who was hungry, and wanting the truth, and found it in thy Son. What a happy home this is. This can be repeated today by any who desire to know thee and Jesus Christ to thou strength. Bless thy will, say precious souls, and build up thy people. We ask in our Savior's name. Amen. Now we sing in closing hymn 376, out of my bondage, sorrow and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into thy freedom, gladness of life, Jesus, I come to thee, if you have accepted Christ, you'd like to confess it, come up as you stand and say the hymn. 37. Thank you.